you debate and you disagree with this administration, somehow you're not patriotic. And we should stand up and say, we are Americans and we have a right to debate and disagree with any administration.
Hey, everybody, this is Maggie Rod, and this is the Unsolicited Opinion Radio Show. How's everybody doing today? I'll tell you, I am busy frosting Christmas cookies this morning and listening to some Christmas music and doing all of that Christmas stuff because, hey, it does lighten your load, makes you walk a little softer, right, a little lighter, and makes you feel a little light and gay and, you know, unlike dealing with reality all the time that is so, unfortunately for all of us, depressing. But I have another great guest. In fact, I have two guests lined up today, although the one has not called in yet. But I do have one on the line, so I'm real pleased to welcome Hal Shurtleff. And he is with the John Birch Society. And I actually just stumbled upon Hal yesterday. I was watching a YouTube video, and there was a number in there below the video saying, you know, if you wanted to have this person give a presentation, and I just wanted to bring them on my show to give a presentation more or less on my show. So I called the number, and that's how I connected with Hale. So thanks for joining me today, Hale. I appreciate it.
Well, I'm glad to. I'm very glad to.
So I know that you've been, yesterday from our conversation, you've been with the John Birch Society for quite some time, and I actually was at a tea party presentation in the summertime, and there were a lot of tables set up, and JBS actually had a table set up there, and I did see one of the handouts that you had on Agenda 21, so I know JBS has been not for globalization, but actually standing up for a lot of constitutional issues for a very long time. But today we're going to talk about UN Agenda 21. So tell me what you've been doing. I know you've gone around giving some presentations. What have you been doing? Yeah, Hal.
Well, the Birch Society has long opposed the United Nations. In fact, one of our earliest and oldest models is get the United States out of the UN, get us out of the UN, and the UN out of the U.S. We've been putting out material, videos. In the old days, it was film strips and books and pamphlets and brochures and so forth. And when Agenda 21, with the first meeting they had in Rio in 1992, we had a reporter there, Mr. William Jasper, who's still a senior editor of our New American magazine. He wrote about this Agenda 21. And then, in the mid-90s, with the Michael New incident, there was a lot of a resurgence of interest in the United Nations as on the aspect of opposing it. We had Dr. Michael Kaufman on a speaking tour. He presented this map, the Wildlands Project, that showed that half the United States is planned to be taken into taking an eminent domain and be used as limited access, so forth, and then buffer zones, and then these densely populated communities, stacking and packing housing, as we call it. And people had a little difficulty accepting this, you know, one of these long-term plans of the UN, worldwide in scope. People didn't quite get their hands around it. They didn't see it as happening. But the last few months, I should say the last few years, it's become much more evident as we're being awashed in this green jobs, green this and green that. Every time you turn around, I mean, literally, you could take a walk or take a drive, and you're going to see evidence of Agenda 21. And most people don't even know that it's evidence of Agenda 21. You know, for example, the light bulbs that have been banned, that's Agenda 21 in action. And they think it's just some touchy-feely liberal granola crunchers thinking they're doing the world a favor. But I gave my first Agenda 21 presentation specifically on the subject down Cape Cod, Massachusetts, back in June, and my colleague there and friend Dave Kopatz, who should be hopefully be calling in soon, he and I did a sort of a 1-2 macro. I did the macro, and he does the micro because he is a town conservation officer, so he deals with the with this stuff on a regular basis. And since then, I've done about 25 presentations as far as Ohio, St. Mary's, Ohio, New Jersey, New England. And I've got a lot more lined up the next few months, and I'll be actually going to Michigan in March. I'll be doing presentations right now, not too far from you there in the Philly area, January 4th. I'll be in Maryland the 3rd. And presentation I do, if Dave's not with me, of course, I cover more of the micro, too. And it's not so much here's all the bad news, but what to do about it, to take action. And, you know, I'll show, I've been visiting these town halls and city halls that formerly belonged to this anti-American arm of the UN, or maybe it's not a direct arm, but it's sort of an entity that was created under the UN, the ICLEI, the International Council on Local Environmental Initiative. And by the way, I guess this show was broadcast in Texas. I think Texas has about 18 towns and cities that formerly belonged to this. And the ones in the region I've been visiting, I'll go in there with my video camera looking for evidence. And when I give a presentation, I'll show people, hey, this is the town hall, and this town hall, they're advocating that people sign up for the Nature Conservancy. But you go to a town hall, they don't ask you to join a tea party, or there's no flyers about the John Birch Society. I said, but you know what, folks? That's going to change, because we realize these town halls belong to us. This is not just some kind of place that exclusively left for those who are pushing this Agenda 21. And the faster these elected officials at the towns and county levels know that, the faster we're going to get out of these Agenda 21.
Well, you know, there is a real big learning curve here that has to take place, Hale, without a doubt. Getting people to getting the information to them is one thing, and then getting them to take action on it is something else entirely. So I know you and I had a short conversation about that yesterday,
One of the most gratifying things as a full-time patriot activist is to actually see people that you've had an impact, positive impact. You present the information, and then within a few days or a few weeks, they're coming back to you, and they're saying, hey, we've got action here. For an example, there's all kinds of levels of activism. And people say, I don't have the time. Well, you better make the time. You know, maybe you don't have to watch that football game this afternoon, you know, and study up on this or go to your town hall. But one back in, I think it was March, late February, our magazine, The New American, a bi-monthly publication, we did a feature story on Agenda 21. I got the article in a PDF format, and I posted it on my Scribd page. Scribd.com is like a YouTube for documents. And I was able to make links to various towns and cities and entities on my Facebook page. For example, living in Massachusetts, in Boston, we've got about 38 towns and cities that belong to ICLEI. So I went to Facebook and I said, okay, where can I find Carver? One particular town, it's Cranberry Country, southeast of Massachusetts, southeast of Boston. So I posted the article. I found a Republican Party group. And by the way, Republicans and Democrats are both pushing Agenda 21. It's not just the Democrats. In fact, there's an organization called Democrats Against Agenda 21, led by a very liberal lady who's very much opposed to Agenda 21. Anyway, posted the article, and I just made reference to the fact that Carver belongs to it and that your group should take action. Well, the lady who runs the group got back to me within a short time. She read the article, and she said she's never heard of this, but it explains a lot. And as a result of that, we had a very well-attended meeting in the town, close to 100 people. And within a few days of that, ICLEI was kicked out. Now, as you rightly said to me yesterday, just kicking ICLEI doesn't mean that it's over. It's sort of the beginning. But
yeah,
it's the fact, and of course, in my presentation, Dave was with me in that presentation. I said, folks, if we're successful, we will be smeared. And I'm looking right at a fellow who was, it was identified by to me that he was on the other side there. He was a friend of the select woman who brought it in. I said, we'll be smeared. I said, but that's okay. That means we're having an impact. And sure enough, within a couple of days, the husband of one of the select women who brought it in was taking swipes at me. I said, good, we're making an impact here. Just a few weeks ago, a fellow with the Southern Poverty Law Center, you know, that I should say Southern Wealth Law Center, I attended a presentation I gave in Connecticut, and they did a story about it. And I thought, well, gee, now the SPLC is taking swipes at me, so I must have some positive impact, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I know you had mentioned that to me yesterday, Hale. And, of course, when you made it to the list on the SPLC, you're actually doing something, because they're just
That's
a bunch
the big
of
leagues, right?
They're the hate hustlers. They're the hustlers of society. Hold on, Hill, because we have to go to break. We'll be back in three minutes, everybody. My name is Maggie Rod. My guest this morning, Hale Shirtleff, and we will be back in 3 minutes.
Flawless Science believes you deserve the right to have a long and healthy life. You deserve to have toxin-free air and water and foods rich in minerals and nutrients. Factory farming, genetically modified foods, and thousands of environmental contaminants are polluting our world and stripping your right to healthy life away from you. FlawlessScience.com helps you regain these rights. FlawlessScience.com makes natural products and provides the best nutraceutical products to enhance your quality of life, your state of health, and well-being. So whether you're struggling with obesity, diabetes, hypertension, memory loss, allergies, high cholesterol, neuropathy, or to spice things up in the bedroom, FlawlessScience.com is here to help you. FlawlessScience.com ships quickly worldwide in discreet packaging and will never sell your information to anyone for any reason. For all your wellness, weight control, extreme muscle building, and nutraceutical needs, visit FlawlessScience.com today.
Throughout history, the power to issue money has been used to enslave man into a perpetual system of debt. Power of the Purse Volume 1 is a 4-hour and 50-minute documentary film that dissects the true history of the people who have controlled the monetary systems of the world. It exposes how bankers have historically engineered artificial economic booms and busts to consolidate wealth and power. It exposes the role of powerful banking interests funding both sides of major wars. From the Knights Templar to the corrupt central banking powers of today, this documentary provides an in-depth chronological look at the influence these powerful financial institutions have had on this world. The many illusions of the modern-day monetary system and how it has been used to turn people into slaves is fully revealed. Purchase your 2-DVD disc copy today at PowerOfThePurseMovie.com. Again, that's PowerOfThePurseMovie.com.
Hey, Maxine here again, the Orion Talk Radio spokeschick. If you or someone you know has a Part 15 low or full power radio station that is looking for interesting, hard-hitting original programming, the Orion Talk Radio Network has the content you're looking for. We offer a wide variety of alternative news talk programs that will easily fit into your station's schedule. Want to become an affiliate? It's free and easy to do. Contact us at affiliates@OrionTalkRadio.com. That's affiliates@OrionTalkRadio.com. This is Max. Talk to you soon.
Do you have a product or service that you would like to tell the world about? Why not advertise on the Orion Talk Radio Network? Orion Talk Radio has ad packages that are very reasonable and cost-effective. For a rate card and more information, contact us at OrionTalkRadio@gmail.com. That's OrionTalkRadio@gmail.com.
Hi, everybody. This is Maggie Rod, and this is The Unsolicited Opinion Radio Show. My website is three words, theunsolicitedopinion.com. Go there. I will link to my guest, Hale Shirtleff's website, which is just jbs.org, which many of you, I'm sure, already are aware of, John Birch Society. And that scribed.com that you mentioned, Hale, is there a specific way that they can find your stuff on there? How would they search it for your stuff?
It's Scrib, scribd.com/H Shirtleff. The last name is spelled S-H-U-R-T-L-E-F-F.
And
I have a collection of, I have a lot of items on there. I've put a few uploads, some classic stuff, some more recent. And you can also find me on Facebook, just Hal Shirtleff. And I think you put Hal Shirtleff Boston. I think there's a few of Hal Shirtleffs. I don't care for the other two. But you find me there and just friend me, and I can give you the connections there to the links. Give you the links.
All right. I'll put all this stuff up on my website so that they can find it under the tab titled podcast. So they'll be able to find you. from there.
By the way, if you go to the JBS website, you'll see a menu. It will say issues. You click that, you drop down to Agenda 21, Choose Street and Stop Agenda 21. There's some downloads right there. There's some petitions you can use. There's an article from the 1992 New American, which I actually have on my script page. There's also, you can email your state rep and state senator just by putting in your zip code. I realize that emails are the least effective means of communicating with elected officials, but when they see emails and then they get stuff in the mail, hard copy and phone calls and visits, and they see presentations being done, then they're going to take notice.
Well, let's hope they do, but then, you know, how many people marched on Washington to stop Obamacare, and that didn't seem to stop them? So I don't know if emails... Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying it's just one thing to do. I understand that emails are not that effective, but it's one thing, and at their age will say, hey, we got 100 emails on a different subject, on this subject, and they start paying attention. And what we're finding out is that when you say Agenda 21, people will say, what's that? And then you tell them, if you say smart growth, sustainable development, green technology, well, they know that that is. Interesting experience I had in the city of Nashua, New Hampshire. Nashua was a nice little, they call the term for the sustainable development people is boutique city. That's a city with a population of under 100,000 or so. That may have been a mill town in its day, but now it's just a place where they have fern bars and the lofts that where the mills used to be, et cetera. And anyway, Nashua is one of the four towns and cities in New Hampshire that belongs to this International Council of Local Environmental Initiatives. And we had a presentation there, but a few weeks before the presentation, I was there just to help get an audience there. I met with a member of the mayor's office, a staff member, and one of our JBS members knows the mayor personally and friendly. I guess they went to school together. And the mayor said she never heard of this Agenda 21. You go to the city hall, and their only overt evidence is a bulletin board that says Green Team, Nashua's Green Team. One of the guidelines of the ICLEI people, I-C-L-E-I people, is to establish what they call a Green Team. They might have high school, college age people go around the city trying to promote the green, greening of Nashua. And they had some drawings from the elementary school, Save the Planet, Save the World, Go Green. But I took a walk through the town, and I found something called Renaissance Downtowns, and people should take note of this. It was a storefront, and I saw a few maps that were on display there, these maps that are these blown-up maps of Nashua, which, by the way, has been provided by the federal government several years ago. They have a grant for these cities and towns and counties can do that. This is how they're able to find out what's there, take an assessment of the resources in your given community. I walked in, and I saw on display on an easel a big sign, what is smart growth? And I said, oh, I found it. I found how it's being implemented. Then Renaissance Downtowns is a private corporation that works with cities and towns, works with the ICLEI, the American Planning Association, and they push the various stack them and pack them housing where they may either build a brand new building, and of course it's built by green codes, sustainable building. There's a sustainable building of America that you may even have a sustainable entity in your town or your county, and you don't even know it. And in order to get the contract, you have to be a certified green contractor. And they use the term benefit corporation. So almost a certification process. And there's about a dozen states that have such a concept. Basically, we would call it fascism in an earlier day. In other words, in order to do business in this town, which is a green designated green community, you must be a green builder. And I point out that the free market system, or what's left of it, usually provides builders do not want to build inefficient buildings for the people they contract with. You live in the Northeast, you want something that's going to keep the hot air in and the cool air in the summertime. So you don't need a green guide or a sustainable development entity, something coming out of the UN to tell us how to build something. People, we know how to build. And money is a tight commodity around here. So people are going to be efficient. They have no choice but to be. But these green codes usually add thousands of dollars to the expense of the building. And of course, that's going to discourage single-family homes. Single-family homes, according to the Agenda 21 people, are not sustainable. And their goal is to basically get rid of these things as quickly as they can. And when they rezone a town, and this is Dave, my colleague Dave's expertise here, they'll rezone a town, and what used to be what's on conservation, they may rezone something conservation land, and they get buy-in from the people, or the farmers, or the people that have the house and the 10 acres. They'll say, look, you're fine. Your grandfather or grandmother, you're not going to have any problems. You're going to have that nice view of the mountain or the nice view of the valley. There won't be anybody else building, and you're good. Don't worry about it. But then you try to sell it, and there's a conservation easement. Or let's say there's a fire. Or let's say that mother-in-law wants to move in, and you got to build a mother-in-law an extra room. You can't do it. So then you can't use your land. You might not even be able to chop the trees down. You might not be able to plant corn if you want to plant corn because you agreed to this. So that's what they're doing. And in some cases, they're taking the rural population. They want to get the rural America off the farms, off the rural areas, and back into the cities, the stack 'em and pack 'em. And that's how they're going to implement this. And it's a long-term plan. They're not going to do it in one election cycle. They have long-term plans. You know, this is a multi-generational thing. That's where the 21 comes in, 21st century. The cities that belong to this are sustainable entities. They're setting up, we're making projections by the year 2040, half of the energy will be renewable. I mean, windmills and God knows what else they have in mind here.
And well, honestly, Hale, what they'll probably do is we'll all be on stationary bicycles, and if we want to generate any electricity, we'll have to generate it by riding our stationary bicycle. And, of course, that'll help us lose weight, too, because, you know, we're not allowed to be fat either. So
that's right.
You know, they'll
right.
kill you two birds with one stone, Hale.
You'll have the freedom to be fat. Yeah, you'll know.
Yeah, right.
Vermont. They have this. They have a plan to have zero waste by 2040 or something like that. Well, the only way to have zero waste is to get rid of all the people.
Now, yeah, exactly.
Recycling can be market-driven, and it can be a productive thing. In many cases, though, recycling takes more energy. It uses more energy than it actually produces. I mean, let's say you get a bottle. You get a bottle of spring water.
Hang on, Hale, because we've got to go to break. So we'll be back.
Okay.
3 minutes, everybody. My guest today is Hale Schertleff, and we will be back in 3 minutes. Don't change that dial.
Free speech guaranteed. You're listening to the Orion Talk Radio Network. The Orion Talk Radio Network is here. The First Amendment of the Constitution grants us freedom of speech. That's the freedom to express our views and opinions without censorship. If you listen to mainstream radio at all, you'll notice that free speech is pretty hard to find these days, with just a handful of networks offering programs that dare to discuss topics and issues that have a profound impact on our daily lives. The mainstream media simply lies by omission and distortion of the facts. The Orion Talk Radio Network is committed to bringing you entertaining and thought-provoking programming that dares to tell the truth. And you can help us as we grow our network. If you think you have what it takes to host a show, you know of someone interested in hosting a show, or any other suggestions, comments, or questions, please drop us an email at OrionTalkRadio@gmail.com. That's OrionTalkRadio@gmail.com. And thank you for listening to the Orion Talk Radio Network.
IRN USA Radio News, I'm Sean Scott Ferguson. A storm that ravaged a wide swath of the southern Philippines has officials worried of a major increase in the death toll, with reports of more than 800 people missing. The Philippine Red Cross says more than 650 people are confirmed dead. Václav Havel, the dissident playwright who helped peacefully bring down communism in Czechoslovakia, has died. Havel became his country's first democratically elected president after the non-violent Velvet Revolution ended 4 decades of repression by a regime that he ridiculed as Absurdistan. Václav Havel was 75. Troops and protesters have been battling for a third straight day in Cairo, pelting each other with rocks in skirmishes near Parliament in the heart of the Egyptian capital. At least 10 protesters have been killed and more than 400 wounded in the 3 days of violence. IRN USA Radio News.
It's a scientific fact. Men can only hear certain frequencies during football season. So the jewelry store at Macy's is sending subliminal messages over these radio wavelengths.
It's 4th and goal, and they need a touchdown. So, Bill Curry of Boston, Massachusetts, you better go for it, because your wife wants that sapphire and diamond ring for Christmas, and you need to score more than a field goal. Also, could you quit leaving your wet towel on the floor? It's seriously annoying!
She's trying to tell you something. This holiday, get her what she really wants from the jewelry store at Macy's.
Attention homeowners. The Obama administration is pressuring lenders to do more to prevent foreclosure with its Home Affordability and Stability Plan. If you own a home and you're having trouble making your payments or facing foreclosure, we can help. We now have the ability to stop foreclosure proceedings, forgive late payments and penalties, and reduce your mortgage payment to as low as 2%. If you're having trouble paying your mortgage, call the National Mortgage Helpline today at 800-951-7207. 800-951-7207.
From victim of the state to victory over the state. Listen to Live Free FM with Paranoid, Saturday nights at 10 p.m. Eastern on Orion Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, this is Maggie Rod, and this is the Unsolicited Opinion Radio Show. My guest this morning is Hale Shirtleff, and I will link to his websites on mine, which is three words, theunsolicitedopinion.com, theunsolicitedopinion.com. I will put up where you can find stuff that Hale's been working on and information on mine, so please check it out. Back to what you were saying when we had to go to break, Hale. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I was just talking about recycling, and in many cases, it's not economically viable to do that. You know, for example, you're washing out your bottle of spring water, and you're using another half a gallon to wash it out before you put it in the recycle bin. That sort of defeats the purpose. On the other hand, I recently visited one of these recycling trash museums in Hartford, and it's a private, it's a corporation. A not-for-profit corporation. They contract with the towns and cities to pick it up, the trash up, and they sell it. They sell the stuff, and I think that's good. But to me, it's market-driven. It doesn't have to be done by any Agenda 21 mandates, and that's the way it should. That's the way it should work. In fact, when we put our stuff out to be recycled, the cities and towns should actually reimburse us or give us a tax abatement. And you think if that happened, that there was an economic incentive for us to do that, we'd be recycling a lot of material. We don't have to have any green team folks visiting us and telling us we need to go green and we need to do this or that. It would be done automatically. The same thing with most of the problems are environmental issues. And there are legitimate concerns. And most of these concerns should and can be addressed at the local town, city, state, county level, and in many cases the private sector. I point out in the presentations that any country where private property doesn't exist is an environmental disaster. And you look at the old Soviet Union, you look at Cuba, you look at East Germany, and all these countries that were, they had no interest in caring about the property because it wasn't owned by anybody. It was all held by the communist state. So the best way to secure a green environment is through private property. And what's happening is these big NGOs, non-government organizations, Nature Conservancy and the various land trust groups, they're buying up land as fast as possible. In fact, back in the mid-90s, Costa Rica was selling its land to pay its debt. So he locked up this land and you relieve us of our debt. And it's quite insidious. Again, it's one thing that we are supposed to be stewards of the earth that God gave us. And stewardship is one thing. Locking something out is another. And that usually causes more damage. When you don't manage a forest, it's going to burn up pretty quickly. That's why we see these terrible forest fires in the Northwest. The forests have been locked up completely. even to build an exit, to put out a fire, to build out a road, to put the fire out, takes several days. And I think that some of these cynical environmental types, they don't care. They'd rather see the whole every tree burn if it means that they have control over the land.
Well, that's what it's about, Hale. This is not about the environment and their concern for Mother Nature and all that other happy horse crap that they hustle. This is strictly involves their control over other human beings. Simply that.
It is a gigantic power grab. What they can't do militarily, they're doing. What the sad thing is, there isn't UN occupational troops coming in making us do this. The people that are bringing this in are the people in our towns, our neighbors, those that go to church, those that maybe were our babysitters when we were little kids. They were babysitting our kids, and now they're state officials or county officials or selectmen. Or maybe they belong to an NGO, and they're getting lots of money to do this. They're the ones that brought it in. And it's us, because they brought it in, we're going to get more people to get it out.
I agree, even if you look at our educational system, and that's where a lot of the foundation for this whole ideology begins, is because our educational system has been entirely taken over to push this collectivist communitarian ideology. That's where this is coming from.
Right, it's not just about property. And if you go to their websites, the ICLEI website, ICLEI.org, or any of these sustainable, it's all social justice, which means socialism. They talk about education. So a very important element of Agenda 21 is ramming it through all the public schools, most of the private schools, and certainly some Christian schools have bought into this stuff. Now, of course, you have a couple of thousand NGOs around the country. NGO stands for non-government organization. And it's not just a generic term. Some people might use the term generically. But an NGO has to be certified by the UN. And in order to be an NGO, your organization has to be in agreement with the principles so-called enshrined in the UN Charter and its numerous documents. And you have to promote Agenda 21. Let me back up a little bit. Some listeners may not know the background. Back in 1992, there was a very large conference in Rio de Janeiro in June of 1992. Out of that conference came some hard law, proposed law, and also soft law. Agenda 21 was one of the soft law, a 1,000-plus page document that its creators said will be binding upon all living things on the planet. And I actually just bought a book called Agenda 21, The Earth Summit Strategy to Save Our Planet. It is a synopsis. It's about 320 pages of Agenda 21. And the man who edited this book, Daniel Sittard, by the way, very much in favor of this Agenda 21, he basically said that Agenda 21 will cause a reorientation, a dramatic reorientation of all human life, human activity, et cetera, et cetera. So we're not just talking about some fuzzy little bill that's going to go through Congress. We're talking about a complete transformation of society. That's what their goal is. And who signed this? Well, Congress never passed it. It was George H.W. Bush, a fellow Texan down there, a conservative. I put that in quotation marks, right? People forget, though, when he got in front of the joint session of Congress in 1990, he announced Operation Desert Storm, and he said, a new world order, and the UN is envisioned by its founders. Well, he went to Yale, and he was the head of the CIA. He should have known that Alger Hiss was a premier founder of the UN, the man who wrote the charter, who was also a Soviet agent. And if I know that, he should know it. So he's telling people, we want to have what our Soviet agent man wanted. And that means a world government, a world standing army, world taxation, and little to no sovereignty at any level. That's exactly what they plan. And of course, so after Bush signed it, he said basically, we'll completely go by this. Every branch of the federal government is pushing Agenda 21. You go to the post office and you could see it. See, if you weren't aware of it, you go to the post office and then you don't really pay much attention, but you'll see go green, they have little booklets. They have stamps, green stamps, not the kind you used to get at this, you know, at the store that you put in a little book and get a free toaster after so many months. But there's a little brochure they have, how to go green, turn your thermostat down, all this, and we're paying money to have this nonsense published. As if I need somebody to tell me to turn my thermostat down. I'm paying for the heat here. I'm going to turn it down if I need to. Or, maybe my wife turns it up. Because we're paying for it. All right, well, we'll pay the little extra if we need to. That should be me. That should be up to us, not up to the post office, and it's Agenda 21. And you go, you'll take a walk down the street, you'll see a bus come by, recycle, good karma. Go green, Boston Office of Sustainable Development, and so forth. So you see it. You put on a commercial, and there'll be a business telling you how green they are and how great they are to go green. Or you see a contracting sign that says, we're a green contractor. So we see it pretty much all around us. And remember, it was Bush that brought it in, that signed it. And Bill Clinton established the first President's Office of Sustainability. And his only non-government appointee advisor was a man named Kenneth Lay, who people in Texas are familiar with Mr. Lay, of Enron. Enron was a total green company because they went bankrupt, and I think he's in prison now, I'm not sure. But it shows you that these big corporations are in on the hit, so to speak. They're buying into it, and because it's very, very lucrative. Well, all the presidents since HW have been pushing it, and our beloved president that's sitting in the White House now, he's the one that had this rural councils that he created. That's how to implement Agenda 21 at the in the rural areas, getting as many people, implementing Agenda 21, which would cause a lot of farms to go under, except for the huge corporations. Yeah, they can, run their farms, no problem. They can jump over all the hoops. They're the ones that create the hoops. But everybody else will be moving into these Stackham and Packham communities, living in these small, 800 square feet units.
Hang on, because we've got to go to break. We'll be back in 3 minutes. Okay. We'll be right back, everybody. Don't change that dial. Stop, children. What's that sound? Everybody look.
In a world where corrupt oppressors and oligarchs have seized control of the populations, total tyranny is amongst us. The burden of humanity rests on our shoulders. The only way out is to expose the global crime syndicate known as the New World Order. Together, we are all one. Together, we are. Intel soldiers. The battle for free humanity ensues. Join us in the fight. TheIntelHub.com.
DependableVoice.com, the total solution, one-stop shop for your business telecommunications needs. Nationwide business-class telecommunications services, providing voice and data, voice over internet, and hosted PBX. Dependable Voice is now offering the first month free for any voice over internet and hosted PBX services. Save up to 50% on your current phone bill, and save thousands of dollars with no need to purchase PBX hardware. Hosted PBX and voice over internet services include free local and long-distance calling to the U.S., Canada, and Caribbean, email to voicemail, follow me services, multiple visual call reports, dynamic auto attendant, advanced ACD and call queue, unified voice and fax messaging, and much, much more. Plus, get your first month free with a minimum 3-phone system. Call Dependable Voice today at 1-888-346-1085 or visit them online at dependablevoice.com. That's dependablevoice.com. Dependable Voice, the total solution for business telecommunications.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
Hey, everybody, this is Maggie Rod, and this is the Unsolicited Opinion Radio Show. My website, three words, theunsolicitedopinion.com. My guest today, Hal Shurtleff. You can find information on jbs.org. He works for John Birch Society. He's also put some information up on Scrib, and I will link to that as well on mine. So, Hal, go ahead. When we went to break, you were talking about something, so please go ahead, right ahead.
Oh, I think I was talking about the... The rural councils that that Obama had initiated through executive order to implement Agenda 21 at the in the rural areas, and the goal, of course, is to get a good size of the population off out of the rural areas, and ultimately it will be bulldozing most of these homes and farms. And again, I'm not talking about one election cycle; I'm talking about a long term, and we see this happening. There's a forest fire, and you live on in conservation land. You can't rebuild. We had a freak snowstorm here back in late October in the Northeast, and some people are telling us, they come up to us and tell us, "Yeah, I wanted to rebuild this or rebuild that, and we're not able to." So, it's funny, as we give these presentations, as we're discussing this to different types of groups, Tea Party groups, and various other, some people are sitting there kind of skeptical, come on. And then they'll hear something and say, wait a minute, that happened to me. Oh, yeah, I was told I couldn't cut this tree down. And then they find out that the town belongs to the ICLEI, and they have these new guidelines and so forth. Or state of Connecticut, there's a law against idling. You cannot idle your car more than 5 minutes or you're subject to a fine.
Well, you know, it's funny, Hal. I remember hearing about that, and I thought, well, what the hell is that crap? And this is before I knew about Agenda 21. And I thought, what kind of nonsense is that? You've got your grandmother sitting in the car with you, and it's 20 degrees out, and you can't keep her warm while you run into the store?
That's it.
Nonsense. Absolutely nonsense. So you're supposed to sit and freeze. I don't know if you saw... a week or so ago, and this was in the UK, because of course UN Agenda 21 is happening all over the world, but the principal of a school, they shut the heat off. It was 32 degrees and they shut the heat off all day long, and the little kids had, of course, all the clothes they had on them they wore into school, and they were shivering, and he thought how wonderful it was. It was such a success, he should do it more often.
Wow, isn't that something? It's crazy.
Yeah, it's insane.
Yeah, but you know, another thing, they talk about alternative energy and solar and wind. Wind technology has been around a long time. It's nothing new. And I would say, if you can get a windmill on your property and get off the grid, God bless you. If you can have the money to build one, because they're pretty expensive. And but what happens, because they're so expensive, it's not market driven for the most part. The average person cannot get a windmill on their property. But the federal government and state governments and local governments will subsidize these wind plants. And so the people who are making money off this are more than happy. But what was that big company out in California, Solinar, that went belly up? They were getting all kinds of federal money and state money. Oh, this was going to be the wave of the future. Here in Massachusetts, we had something called Evergreen. This was a company that made the blades and actually manufactured, actually made something here in Massachusetts. They used to do a lot of that. And that was, they got $65 million from the Massachusetts taxpayer over the last 5 years. And the CEO of the company said, hey folks, I'm paraphrasing, of course, thank you so much for your generosity, but we decided we can't make any money here because there's too much, too many regulations, so we have to go to communist China. So, mm-hmm. But thank you very much for your $200, and I'm sorry about the 500 people I have to lay off, but what are you going to do? That's just the way it is. There's another company in the town of near Boston, and I think it was Chelmsford, and they were getting money to bailout money, the Obama bucks. The Bush bucks bailed out the big banks. The Obama bucks seem to be bailing out these energy, so-called energy companies and communities. Well, they got money to buy solar panels. The solar panels were made in communist China, so we have to feel really good about that, that our bailout money is bad enough it's going to be spent here, but no, it's going to be spent in communist China to make these solar panels. So solar technology, again, has very limited applications. It's not going to be the way for the future. It will not generate enough electricity for a growing dynamic economy, and that's just the catch. They don't want a growing dynamic economy. They want to have an economy that's sustainable. Now, you see, we use the term sustainable, and it makes sense. You live in a small town. You don't want to see 1,000 people move in 3 days. It will destroy the infrastructure, the water, the sewage, everything. There's not enough housing. So it makes sense, but that never happens. But they have their term sustainable development is a whole different concept. The granddaddy of this Agenda 21 is Maurice Strong, a billionaire Canadian oil man. You see, it's funny. A lot of these people make their money off of fossil fuels, and then they do everything they can to prevent anybody else from making money off fossil fuels. Well, Maurice Strong, now living in communist China, said that the American middle class is the biggest threat to the world. And why is that? Because of our consumption patterns. Because we live in single-family homes, we take hot showers, we might have two cars, and we have garages, and we build roads to get to our houses. This is unsustainable. So when they hear the word sustain, when the average person hears it, it says, the official definition is something like this: meeting the needs of the present generation without infringing the needs of the future generations. Well, I'm glad the people 100 years ago didn't buy into this because they would still be using trees. Now, 100 years ago, most of the United States was deforested. But what brought the forest back? Well, people were burning coal and oil instead of burning wood. New England was about 90% deforested. All of that's grown back. Vermont, Maine, New Hampshire. You look at pictures 100 years ago, you'll see nothing but mountaintops with trees. Everything else has been pretty much cut. Well, that's all back, thanks to fossil fuels. And one of the foundations of this Agenda 21 is the idea of global warming, which is a topic for, that could be hours. But there is no man-made global warming. It's not going to, the seas won't rise. And, we do have warming trends. And so forth. So we could completely shut down everything, all carbon burning, and it would have a negligible, if no impact, on the environment. So they're using this as a means to get their Agenda 21 through, to build their, what Bush called, the New World Order. A lot of well-intentioned people are, scared to death. Oh, no, it's warm out. We've had a very mild December here in Boston. Today it's in the mid-20s, but it's been in the 50s, and it's very pleasant. Well, we should be worried about it. No, it's a cycle. I mean, we have warm Decembers, and some Decembers the lakes are frozen by December 15th. But people, they see a couple of nice days and say, see, they're right, global warming. Well, very unscientific. And these folks, billions of dollars has been used to promote this massive lie. And Al Gore, who attended the Rio conference, whose dad was basically a stoolie or a puppet for Arm & Hammer, made their family fortune on carbon, on fossil fuels. And he's now a billionaire going around the world in a private jet lying to people, mainly school children, about global warming. And he's a big advocate of Agenda 21.
Well, I don't know if you've ever seen the television show South Park, but they refer to Al Gore as Man Bear Pig, and that's about sums it all up. Quite frankly, for me, Hale, that encompasses everything about him.
So it's interesting about Al Gore. I've attended a few climate change conferences sponsored by the Heartland Institute, which is a free market think tank. And I met a lot of scientists. I met a lot of statesmen, not politicians so much, but economists and scientists in every conceivable discipline, from insect-borne disease specialists. See, they say because of global warming, there'll be more malaria and yellow fever. They don't tell you there was yellow fever in cold climates, too. Polar bear expert who told me that we had 5,000 polar bears in the Arctic in the 70s. Now it's 30,000. So it's a growing population. You know, the DDT that was supposed to do all this damage is actually is beneficial, and it's been reintroduced. The various disciplines, from astronomers to weathermen. I met the founder of the Weather Channel, John Coleman. And you do a Google search for John Coleman or a YouTube search, he'd come up some really hard-hitting stuff on, and he says it's a hoax. It's a massive hoax and fraud. And
it is a hoax. Listen, on that note, Hale, because we're running out of time here for the show for today. It's only an hour long on Sundays.
Okay, but, well, that goes by fast, doesn't it, huh?
Yeah, it does. I want to thank you so much for joining me, Hale. I appreciate it, and keep up all the good work.
Thank you for having me. And can you make it to our meeting there? And I think it's going to be in Hollisville, I believe, January 4th.
Yeah, I will definitely try. Send me an email on it, and I will definitely try.
I sent you an email. I attached the flyer to the email, so it should be
okay.
There.
Okay. Thanks so much, Hale Sherliff.
Right.
I appreciate your time today. Hey, everybody. Thank you. Hey, everybody. Listen, I want to make sure you go to my website, three words, theunsolicitedopinion.com, and there you will be able to find info to get in touch with Hale if you'd like to do that. If you would like to read different things that he's written, his scribe.com, you can find stuff for him, scribe.com, Hale/Hale Shirtleff. Anyway, I'll link to all this stuff on mine, as I always do, under the tab entitled Podcast, and the podcast of the show will be up later today. Listen, everybody, I love to go to Oz. Somewhere over the rainbow is a wonderful place to be. Chin up. Better days are coming. Don't lose heart. We've got people like Hale in the world who are fighting for you and I. So, hey, Merry Christmas, everybody. I'll talk to you later. Take care.